Let's open our Bibles tonight, going back into Romans chapter 1. And tonight we're going to pick it up in the 18th verse, and we'll even see more, which is so wonderful. And only the Lord can show us these things. These are just words on a page, unless it's by His Spirit. But when you get into the Word of God, and especially with Romans, and especially tonight, we're going to see the absolute necessity for God's grace. Praise God for God's wonderful grace. Now let's go ahead and read here in the 18th verse. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now we've seen these things happen many times throughout the Word of God, whether it was with Pharaoh and the armies, whether it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, whether it was with those that were withholding things from the Lord, even in the New Testament. And God just reveals Himself mighty. He's again showing us bits and pieces. He will do that which is right. But in this verse, we have that last statement there. It says, these ones of unrighteousness, these ungodly ones who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this literally means to hold down or suppress the truth by their wickedness. Sinful men, and I'm talking about people that do not know Christ Jesus as Savior, they don't just merely ignore the truth, brothers and sisters. They hinder the truth. Whether they do it boldly, bluntly, or subtly, the Word of God tells us very clearly in Matthew 12:30, you're either for me or you're against me. And that is the truth. And we need to understand these things. I don't care how good someone appears. I don't care how much good they may have appear to do. If they're not a child of God, their life is working against the truth. I know that can be hard to accept sometimes. It can be hard to understand. But when the Lord touches your life and you begin to see the Word of God and you begin to see with the eyes of God, you'll begin to see you're either for me or you're against me. Neutral, you can't not be. And let's get right to it, what God is saying here. God hates sin. God does hate sin. But always remember, God so loves the world. And God loves the men that are in it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And let's read that some of that precious text right there. That's Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He loved me before I gave my heart to God." He loved me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't love me because of any goodness in me. He didn't love me because, well, my goodness, that's a special one there. God so loved the world. "And even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Praise God. This is some wonderful stuff. He gave His only begotten Son to die for all. He loves every man, but God hates sin. He does. He can't look on it, and the only way sin can be off of our lives is by the blood of His precious Son. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." How wonderful, how simple, how beautiful. That sacrifice was always there. Bring me the lamb. Bring me that lamb. And hallelujah, we have Him. And He tells us very clearly in the Word of God, to evidence His hatred of sin, He tells His children, get away from it, flee the very appearance of it, depart, separate from it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. This flesh is weak, brothers and sisters. It is. The flesh is weak. I know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't think somehow, some way, in ourselves, we are able to keep anything, to do anything, to be accountable for anything. I am thankful to God. I realize myself against Satan, I'm done. But praise be to God, He is always defeated, and it is written. He cannot stand against the word of the Lord. Now, as the Lord brought me this study tonight, I thank God for this. Most out here in this auditorium tonight, you know Romans pretty well. Thank the Lord for his grace. It had to be by his spirit, not by your great mind, not by your attendance record, not by any college, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise his name. Isn't that wonderful? We're all the same. It's all the grace of God. Praise his name. But as we know Romans, think about this. Think about what Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans. And you have to think about what he said there in the 7th chapter after he had walked with the Lord for 30 years. He said, "The good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do." Sound familiar? Huh? Flesh. Now, brothers and sisters, I thank God for that. I thank God for that testimony. Not for an excuse to fail, but oh, for more grace to gain. Lord, I need you. I need that great grace to help me overcome. Now, I want you to think when Paul said that again, 30 some years, walking with the Lord. And you think about Paul's life prior to. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews. This is in Philippians 3. It says there is touching the law, it says of keeping the law. Let me tell you something. There was nobody that did the job like Paul. I want you to think about this guy. I want you to think about this sweet brother. But yet he did say he was the chief of sinners. Praise be to God. He realized those things. Now, as Paul went on with God, and I don't know for certain, but I think of the failures in my life that have plagued me in certain ways and different things. I think about Paul. I think Paul, by the grace of God, was a brother who knew how to maintain and to trust God for his vessel, his life. But yet he writes this, and it sure didn't look, I'm confident, on the outside to many. Paul, what do you mean by this? What's going on? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful to God for the word of the Lord that we're in a good fight of faith. We battle always. This flesh is quick to sin. It's quick to fail. And I thank God that we need the whole armor of God always. That this isn't something, well, I've licked it, it's done. Let me tell you something, but for God and but for the grace of God, there go I. Every single time, any single moment, we need to understand this. And praise be to God, I don't know what these different temptations and trials were for Brother Paul, but I'll tell you what, the one thing I do know that God told him, he said, "Brother, if I remove that thorn from you, you would be exalted and not me." Let me tell you something, that dirty self-righteousness has sunk many lives, and we need to be on guard. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices, brothers and sisters. As brother prayed, and I am so thankful, and every hair on my body is standing up right now, I am so thankful for how privileged we are to feed on strong meat. We are blessed. It's rare. God has called you and chosen you. You talk about circled you out. Hallelujah. But God help me never to be puffed up in that. That, oh, praise you, Jesus. It was because of your great grace. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, the beauty of it all. Oh, hallelujah. He is worthy of all glory. And you see Paul in his life, and praise God how the Spirit moved him to know that it was only by the Lord's Spirit. It was only by that very power of his might through the grace of God that can keep us. It's not trying, brothers and sisters, to keep away from something. There is practical wisdom in that. I do understand that. And I don't want you to get me wrong in this, but if you want real victory in your life, Real victory is not getting away from something, it's going to God. Those ones that went out from the camp, they went unto the Lord out from the camp. They were going to him. They weren't going away from. If you really want to be that ultimate of sanctification, that set apart to God, you're talking about the vessel only for the master's use. Let me tell you something. It's because you're going to God because you see that great love wherewith you are loved. You go because he's captivated your thoughts. You go because the word of God tells you, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And you say, I want that. Amen? Did you need to work for that? God says, let that mind. Let. I believe that's just meaning by faith. Trust me. Ask and ye shall receive. Amen? These are the promises of God, and they are yea and amen. And he wants us to have these more than we could ever want them. Oh, let this mind be in you, which is also in me. Praise be to God. I live in you. Now let me think in you. Praise his name. Now I want that renewing. I want that captivating of my thoughts. Because then I quit thinking about the evil, hallelujah, instead of just trying to physically flee it. See, I want the renewing of my mind in my life. How about you? That renewing of your mind, that means a new mind. That means new thoughts. Praise be to God. That's completely opposite than the things that have governed me with my natural mind. And the reason I want the renewing of my mind, brothers and sisters, is I don't want these things stalking me anymore. I want those things that are dead in my life, praise God, which God did through Christ upon that cross. I want to be able to rest in that it's dead, that he has taken it, that the victory has been won. And I believe it's very clear in the word of God. It's just like the wineskin. See, if we try to remove the dross in our lives by ourselves, the dirtiness of our flesh will keep putting more dross in that wineskin. Amen? I will tell you, I'll testify of it. Every time I thought that I did it and I was the one that accomplished something, it came back worse. That desire, whatever was haunting, it grew darker. It grew larger in my life and it became more of a despair because, oh, I thought it was done. Let me tell you something. The only way these things come out is like the Word of God tells us so clearly, more wine's got to come in. The only way that the dross comes out of your life is more wine comes in. Praise God. It flushes that precious spirit, flushes us with the joy and the love and the peace and the renewing of our mind. And the spirit flushes all of the dross out. And I can testify of Christians and plenty of Christians that know this truth. But they went the way of removing their own dross. And you know what? When you go the way of removing your own dross, what happens? You go the way of removing everybody else's dross too. And you become the most cold, the most insensitive, the most hateful, the most bitter, the most no joy people of God that you will ever meet. And if there was ever something to flee, flee that. Get away from it. It will hurt you. It will infect you. When people have made their minds up to live in that hate, when they know better. My goodness, brothers and sisters, it's time to depart. It's time we live, praise be to God. Let this mind be in you by my spirit, saith the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to trust Jesus? I was thinking of that last song that we sang in that last verse about how the spirit gives me my thoughts, my words. He gives those to you. Do you know that? Trust him. You don't need to pre-plan stuff. I thank God for these notes that he has here. That's the things of the Spirit. I understand that. But my goodness, Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. Whatever you want, let's just turn it loose. I trust the Spirit by the grace of God completely. But not just for this, for everything in our lives. For our discussions with our children, with our spouses, with our friends, with our bosses, with our co-employees, whatever it would be. Lord, every single word. Let that abundance of you come out of my heart. Out of the abundance the mouth speaks. I want the abundance of the Spirit to speak. Why should I ever do anything different by the grace of God? It's so good and it's so perfect because it's Him. Trusting Him and Him alone. He'll let you think about things. He'll let you meditate on things. He'll let you pray on things. But let me tell you something. When it's turn on time, let that Spirit just take control. And it will be right, and you trust Him. You may even stumble at times. You may even say, well, I wish I would have said that, or I wish I... You don't need to do that. God help us to leave that alone. See, that's something, forgetting those things which are behind, huh? Sure, we learn from things. I'm not saying we're perfect people, but we sure got a perfect God. And in that perfect God, I've got Romans 8:28, and I'm going to believe in 8:28. I'm going to believe that He will work all things together for my good. Because by the grace of God, I love Him. And by the grace of God, there's a calling on my life that I am called according to the purposes of God. Do you believe Him like that? I pray we do. If we don't, we're going to be mowed over. If we don't, we're going to be just like open nerves that are just out there ready to get offended and hurt and all of these different things. Endure hardness as good soldiers. This is fighting time. Good marriages, I'll tell you what, you fight for one another. You fight for it. You do. You don't just get insulted and quit. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but it's just a fact. It's not easy. These kids knew what they were doing. I'm going to be quiet now. But you know what? You'd never pass it up, would you? It's just too good. It hurts too good. Praise be to God. Now, here's why, as we go on, man falls every time. And the reason man falls every time, and again, it's but for God, but is because man follows and can only follow without God the path of Lucifer and what Lucifer set out at the very beginning when he was cast out of heaven. And that was in Isaiah 14. And what he did there was he exalted himself above God. Very simple. God, you don't know. I'm my own guy. I'm better than you. There's no God. See, he's just the same one-trick pony. And let's go over here and read verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody's got an excuse, brothers and sisters. I mean, did you really read this? Did you hear what he's saying here? You think about it. God created man in his own image. How could man not just look in the mirror and how incredible we're made? The complexity. They think this universe is complex and is amazing and intricate and things. It still can't even compare with this human body. It can't. It's amazing. He is manifest, as it says here, in all creation, in all his wondrous creation. How can one not see God? I was thinking this, we're being graced with these little babies, these precious couples. There's a baby on the way. Hallelujah. And conception. It's just mind-boggling how a baby forms in a womb. The birth, wildlife, the sunsets, the universe, the physics that govern us, the physics that we can see, and then the physics that God's even brought that curtain back just a little bit to say, and by the way, here's the spectrum that you can't even see, which is 99%. Of everything. It is amazing. But brothers and sisters, if they can't see that, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Any honest scientist Boy, isn't that a statement. But if there was one, they would tell you, and there's some that will, that still will deny Jesus, but they will tell you that there is no way that this just happened. There was no way this was just a grand coincidence, a bang. It had to have a creator. It has intelligent design all over it. And I always tell them, yes, a.k.a. God. God and his son, Jesus. Now let's go a little deeper. Verse 21. Because when they knew God. See, they knew God. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now, brothers and sisters, there's two essentials, really, that the Bible points out in this precious verse that are so essential in our walk. In our walk. See, this call isn't just a wake up to sinners. Matter of fact, sinners usually don't read this book. This is actually written to the Romans, by the way. Ones that were full of faith. Amen? Praise God. We're hearing that tonight. I believe by his grace we can raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to hear the word. Because the word has made me full of faith. I believe you. I thank God. These are my yoke fellow brothers and sisters here. They might come a little bit earlier than I did, but thanks be to God, your word is the same. But there are two wonderful things that are brought out here. That we had best always and in every moment and in all things give glory to God. That when we feel at all puffed up, my goodness, Lord, help us to hit our knees. When we feel at all that I'm increasing, oh my goodness, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. When we feel that we've done anything in our own strength, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. And then secondly, to be thankful in the same way, always and in all things. Praise God. We're going through some deep trials right now, brothers and sisters. And only through and in the Word of God can we give him thanks. I'm not magnifying vessels, but I'm so thankful what's going on over there at Swedish Hospital in that precious family. As much of a heartache that only each individual and the Lord knows. Nobody else knows that. I don't care even if you've been through it. Every individual's different in how they experience stuff with the Lord. Praise God. There's ones that have been through similar things. You can comfort them to always point to Jesus, but what they're going through is between them and God alone. But the one thing I can testify of is the faithfulness of God, that somehow, some way, there's a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I know in your word that you're working all things together for our good. I thank you, God, that we can praise you knowing that nothing's hard for you. And praise be to God. I know that there's a thankfulness of praise that, Lord, you're using this for the greatest of glory to you. Only God can do that now. And that's why we continue on to pray. Some very deep, dark valleys in that, but we pray and continue to pray on. Now, I thank the Lord that he's brought us to this place where we know that we give him glory always and we thank him always. Because these two things, void in life, have defeated even the most full-purposed runners. And only by the grace of God can we be fully aware of the subtlety of this that can defeat us so easily. When we become vain and puffed up, when we think that our cause or our purpose or I know the right way, and somehow I try to manipulate the word of God. And we're going to read that in a verse here in a minute, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Don't try to take scripture out of your life to justify your feelings. God is love. And then go from there. Amen? Isn't that a simple one? God is love. go from there. He's a God of increase, isn't he? Hallelujah. We really need to pray for ourselves and one another, don't we? But you see, they become vain. Verse 22 says, professing. Here's what happens when you become vain and when your foolish heart gets darkened. Here's your evidence right now. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, this is what man has always done. Yeah, see, a dog, and I'm talking about sinful man. This is the godless man. These are the ones that are not saved. This, and they act just like a dog that returns to his vomit. They cannot do anything but. I was thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. God turned him over to what he was going after, and so, yeah, I'll just make you a beast in the field. Huh? Yeah, that's what happens here. This is exactly what happens when God turns you over to your lustful, godless desires. And how does it begin? It begins with worshiping corruptible man. Isn't that something? And you see it so evidently. But then that pit goes deeper. It goes to birds. Isn't that something? And then it even goes deeper than that. Four-footed beasts. And then finally it says creeping things. And the definition of creeping things specifically means a snake. Isn't that something? Because that's where it all came from. Right there in the garden at the very beginning. That dirty Satan taking on that vessel of a snake. And that's where it ends up. I'd like you to even look at this for a moment. Because, see, God's word is true. And again, the sinner, the antichrist, the devil, whoever you want to say, they can't get away from the word of God. And you think about how man is so much into an image. Isn't that something? It's always about, you even think about, well, what image do you portray? It's the sizzle. It has nothing to do with substance. It's image. Uh-oh. I just stepped on somebody's hero here. But that's really what it is. There's very little substance anymore. And it's very sad. And there's so much failure, you know, in all of these different ones that are supposed to be our leaders and our mentors. And, you know, we're looking up to this one and that one because it was mainly based upon this image and really not substance. And that's why the Word of God tells us, don't put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. Whether it's athletes, whether it's actors and different things of that nature, government officials, whatever it is, pretty much across the board, the cracks start cracking. That's just what it is. And we see that the confidence needs to be put in the Lord. But in Revelation 13:15, listen to what it even says here. It says, and he had power. This is, again, the false prophet. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I think about this, how you have the Antichrist that wants that worshiping and praise, but he also is going to make sure, well, you're going to worship my image too. Again, that idolatry, it's a big thing, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? And I think about how it so sums it up. There's that Antichrist, the beast, and actually that means a wild beast here. And you worship that image, and it shows you again how vile, and we need to understand this, how vile an idol is. Any image. We don't do any image here, brothers and sisters. We have the one. It's the Word. Praise God. We don't look into his image. We look into the Word of God. We go boldly to the throne of grace. We speak to God, our Father, and to praise God, our precious Savior, face to face as a friend. I do look into a glass darkly, I understand that, but by faith, it's one-on-one. It's this word, and God help us to know that, and it's a big thing to understand. So with hearts that are so hard and vile and wicked, and there's no thought of God with these ones, here comes the evidence. So let's go back to Romans 1, and here comes the evidence in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, you can dishonor all of these different things in life. I could dishonor a friend or dishonor that. But when you start dishonoring your own self, your own body, that's kind of like you've gone to the point of you don't have natural thoughts. When you hurt yourself, when you defile yourself, something's unfit, something's unstable in your head. So God's going right to this. I'm not saying that you're stable when you try to hurt somebody else, but when you really start hurting yourself, we have an issue here. So, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And here's why. Because they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature. So again, now we're right back to self. This is self big time. Think about how ones that want to go on with the Lord, about really going on to win God's best. As Jesus says, deny self and pick up your cross. Take it up. Amen? Amen. See, your personality, you're going to check that. God will bring out all of that personality, but you don't go with him in personality. You lay self down. Because you realize it's such a privilege. I love you so much, Lord. See, true love prefers the other more than the self, doesn't it? Amen? See, like, and again, now we're back to the marriage thing. Because this is what God is testifying to us of. He prefers us, doesn't he? Well, his wife, I'll tell you one thing, she prefers him. And there's a great love. And he's given this in such a great type. In the ultimate type of what he's given us even in the natural. Which is the love and the union between a husband and a wife. And thanks be to God that that working can be such a testimony and encouragement in our lives. Praise his name. But here it says again, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature themselves more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen, for this cause, for this, because they didn't worship his Son. God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their image, God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. That means unfit, unable to discern right from wrong, mind to do those things which are not convenient. Unsound, unfit is what he's getting at there. Now, this is some stuff, brothers and sisters. And in verses 24 through 28, which we've just read, what emphasis is placed upon the relationships here as it goes into with men with men and women with women? God gives them over to an unfit, an unsound, something that is cast away from nature, an uncleanliness because of the decisions that they have made concerning their own lives and concerning God. And brothers and sisters, that's our world today, isn't it? It really is. It's not only a major platform in the United States. It's a major platform in the whole world. It's in every pretty much developing country. the plague that was there in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a great cause of those cities to be destroyed. The same, and there's many studies on this as well too. They believe that the breakdown of the family and this unnatural relations and things of that nature, as they study Rome and its downfall in AD 400 and that increasing, as it increased at an increasing rate, was because of this unnaturally and ungodly relations between men and men and women and women. They changed their natural use, as it says in 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And I thank God, too, because he tells us in the Word of God, when you see these things come to pass, look up. And this is a big thing right now that I want to get to. Look up. Look up. Don't turn your eye upon the sin. Don't turn your eye upon these things. Because I do want to emphasize as we go along here, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen? Now, come on. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And God loves the world, and God wants every man, as we know. I would that all men be saved. But God does hate sin. And notice here all the other evidences of sin that follow when we do not glorify God and when we're not thankful. Let's go ahead and read from verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, are we there. Disobedient to parents, over the top. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Isn't that amazing? That defiant, that bold, that vile, that hateful to God. Judgment's coming. And let me tell you something. Like a lot of things when we say you hadn't seen nothing yet, you hadn't seen anything yet. Even those that have died without accepting Christ as Savior, that are in hell, they have not seen anything yet. God has prepared a lake of fire. And let me tell you something. They have not seen anything yet. God forbid anybody would go there. You know, that wasn't even prepared, all of that, for man, because he said, I would that all men be saved. That was always for the devil. That was for his demons. It wasn't there for man. That's what's so sad. I mean, it really is sad. This isn't a put on, it's sad. God so loved the world, he loved every soul, that he gave his only begotten son. He wouldn't want a one to perish. And you think of that sorrow and burden that's upon our Savior. As he became sin, and as he looked at it, those ravaged beasts that were had teeth to devour him, and yet he said, oh, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. I can't imagine how much he loves, how much he loves. But see, as we read here in these verses 29 through 31, we best realize that any of these sins, any of them reigning upon our lives, brothers and sisters, will defeat us from God's best just as easy and effectively as any of those sins mentioned in verses 24 through 28. Did you get that? Quit trying to rate sin in your life. Quit trying to tell me which one's worse than that. Just don't let it reign. Don't let it reign. Don't let it control you. Don't. Do you realize that in the Bible, the sin that is most mentioned and emphasized as the most wicked, if there is the most wicked to God, is self-righteousness? Do you know that? I pray you do. You should. If it surprises you, you just might have a problem with it. It's the truth. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, and that's one of his biggest. Vanity. Pride. Huh? Judgment. Condescending in nature. Those types of things. Huh? Ye that are spiritual, restore, restore, restore. Oh, I want to be a meeting known as ones with open arms. I'm not talking about accepting sin. I'm talking about throwing your arms open. Oh, there's a sinner that wants Jesus. I don't care who they are. There's a brother or sister in the Lord that failed so miserable and is just as raked through the gutter of the gutters. And here they are to come back. Oh, let's roll out the red carpet. It's not, wait a second, you got to do this and this, and we're going to check off the checks. Man, I want to have the heart as that father, as that prodigal son. Man, he was looking for him every moment. And when he hit the kingdom, oh my goodness. It wasn't, oh son, you know, go get in the barn. It was the fat of it all. We've been waiting for this. I've had this ordered for you because I was expecting you to come home at any moment. It's all ready, honey. I don't want to be like that, brother. He missed it all. He missed it all. And so many of God's precious people are missing it all. Brothers and sisters, did you realize that maybe the next most emphasized sin, right up there with idolatry in the Word of God, is adultery and fornication? Huh? Oh, and I've said this before to people. Oh, but I never saw the Lord destroy cities for that. Well, if you really knew what was going on and would read your Bible, you could see that was part of it too. But I'm going to tell you something. At least for me and my house, I'm concerned with my household more than I am with a city or a government. How about you? Huh? Amen? I pray. See, most people aren't. They're about changing the world. And God brought it right down. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. It's an intimate thing with Jesus, isn't it? Oh, man's got these grand big pictures. God's just looking at one. Amen? One at a time. Hallelujah. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. And I'm going to tell you, things like alcohol and drugs and adultery are far more likely to defeat me and my house from walking with God than maybe those things in verses 24 through 28. I know, but for the grace of God, there go I. But why be so focused on something that might have not much meaning for my life when the little foxes are all about? Huh? Now, I commend you, saints. I believe I fellowship with people, praise be to God, that get this. I pray we do, because if we don't, you missed it. You did. And I'm telling you, I'm pleading with you, don't miss it. Tend your own garden. Stay there. And you'll have a heart that'll pray and be in perfect harmony with the will of God. Brothers and sisters, be caught up in a life that lives, it is written. Don't give the devil the spotlight. Don't get caught up in causes. things that distract you, platforms to save the world, the fear, oh, these things are coming in. We've got to fight against them. I'm telling you, it's seeping in. The Bible told me it would, and I can hear things. I don't want to give my ear to it, but God allows me to see some things and hear some things with people that know better. Well, brother, we got to get into this cause. We've got to really watch this. We've got to at least tell people about that. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to guarantee you something here tonight. The evil of man's going to wax worse and worse. And you're not going to stop it. And I'm not going to stop it. And God's going to allow it because it's the Word of God. Do you get it? That isn't a defeatist attitude. That's the most optimistic, overcoming attitude you could ever have. Because the Word of God tells me when I see these things come to pass, look up. Look up. I don't want to glance down. I don't want to look at that. I know, brothers and sisters, this world in a lot of ways is growing more ugly. It's not the same world it was 20, 30 years ago. I remember people telling me, oh, son, if you grew up my time, I'm telling you, my heart goes out to kids in this day and this age. You talk about not having any freedom. They're afraid of everything. And I say something wrong, my goodness, you're done. And that's how it is. But I've got to trust God for the children in this meeting. I've got to trust God for my children. And they do need to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And they do need to abide by the laws of the land. They do. That's the word of God. Why do I want to not seek peace with men as much as lies within me when I got Christ in me, the hope of glory? Huh? But I'm more caught up in how I was treated. How unfair so-and-so was to me, or my job, or this and that. Now, I'm not saying to lay down and be a dead fish. But at the same time, the Word of God says, don't you get caught up in it. Don't. Don't. And we need to pray for ourselves and one another. Don't do that. It will distract you. You get caught up into these good causes, and if you go after them, brothers and sisters, I'll assure you, it will rob you of God's best, because the Word of God says you can't have two first loves. You can only have one. And I go right back to when you really, really fell in love, those that have, did anything else matter? Did anything else matter? And it didn't. It just didn't. You know, I went and saw that Romeo and Juliet the other night. And there those two, they fell in love. And man, what ugly families they had, huh? Can you imagine? Did they think, oh my gosh, if I do that, boy, what a father-in-law I'm having. My mother-in-law, yikes. You don't think of that when you're in love, do you? You don't think about budgets. You don't think about nothing. You're just love struck dumb. But it's worth it. Now, that can't compare. But I'm kind of simple. And that's what God had to show me in some ways. And I thank God for that farmer that said, what's a peach taste like? Huh? It's simple, isn't it? Praise God. But as we close this, why are these vile relations with men and men and women so emphasized here? And I'm going to tell you, it's because of God's grace to us. It really is. It's all because of God's grace. The need for him. How mixed up and confused and debased we are without him. And then also the signs of his coming. These things are completely set against how God established creation. Do you know that? They are. How he established creation. Noah's Ark, they were two by two. Male and female. Procreation. The continuing of life. But these things that you read here in 24 and 28, they're set completely against how God set that up. Matter of fact, it's not the continuing of life if you go that way. Matter of fact, it ends. These things do not lead to the furtherance of life. They don't. And even greater, brothers and sisters, if we really want to take this, and I want the Lord to always say, Lord, take it to the heights of your testimony to me of your word. You talk about the relationship between a man and a woman, and I'm talking about the intimacy of relationship of a man and a woman. That's the most precious and sacred of relations there's ever been given by God to mankind. It's the truth. The intimacy, even the types of the heights of the glory between Christ and his bride. This is what this is infringing upon. Not just infringing. It's an insult. But instead of hate, and I pray God help us to love, there should be a love and a heartache for people that are deceived in anything. To love all people. And it's all because of Jesus. See, I don't want to focus, brothers and sisters, on what someone is caught up into. I don't. You've heard me even say when speaking with people about receiving Christ as Savior, I really don't care what your current religion is. There's a jillion counterfeits. I just want to talk about the one faith. I just want to talk about the real one. I just want to talk about Jesus. Light will shine upon all that darkness. You receive the light, it will expose every bit of things that aren't truth. Amen? Because that's the word of God. So we know that. And I thank the Lord he shows me that time and time and time again. See, the truth will get you to unlearn those things that were wrong in your life. I don't try to get you to say, well, let's unlearn this and then I'm going to show you the truth. Why would I waste my time? I don't want to waste your time. I just want to talk about the truth. I want to search the scriptures to see that these things are so. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters. That's the love of Jesus. Not caught up into these practices. Not caught up into what someone's doing, just knowing that everybody needs Jesus. And the one thing I can tell you that I do know, his word is true. And you know that too. That's so wonderful about his word. It's yea and amen, and we have found so evidently true. If we preach the word, and I'm talking about the truth in love, it's all powerful. You give him the bread of life, you preach, and let God pour forth that new wine, and by the pouring of it and it alone into a life. That's when true change happens. Every single time. That wine comes in, the two can't mix, and the dross has got to go out. More of him, praise be to God, it just presses all of that other stuff out. Thank you, Jesus. Those things that once haunted my life and even controlled me to the very core. Somehow, some way, that wine coming in, it washed those things out of my mind. And there was no more thought to be entangled anymore. Now, I can tell you something truly, too. Sometimes that didn't happen overnight. God's still working on things in my life, and I thank him. And the reason I thank him is because I count him faithful. And I know this, brothers and sisters, that more truth and more truth and more love and more love, we have got a promise. I will perform the good work which I have begun. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I thank God that I do. I stand back and I watch the mighty hand of God by faith, defeat every foe. Is that the truth? That is the truth, isn't it? And how simple the truth is, how powerful the truth is. God, help us to rely solely upon the truth. Solely upon it is written. My flesh wants to go after anything and everything but the Word of God. My flesh is quick to hear anything that's going to spark an interest, maybe in things that agree with my mind, my personality, my thoughts. God, help me. Lord, give me that ear. Give me that ear and that ear alone that hears what the Spirit saith to the churches. Brothers and sisters, there is a good, there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God. And God has laid it before us. Can you imagine? To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Him? Unto a perfect man? That's what He sees for us. I don't want to be living on scraps. I don't want it to just be close. I want the very heart of it. Amen? That's fully purposed. God, help us not to be distracted. It's too good. It's too good. It's too beautiful. He's too wonderful. And it's going to be all by the grace of God. Praise His name. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.